In the name of Jesus. Dear friends in Christ, what a privilege and joy for me to return back to this wonderful Grace Lutheran Church. I was here 2 years ago, not for Sunday service, therefore maybe I have not met you at that time, but I was here to teach a continuing education course for the pastors. A wonderful place and great location and great pastor, great people. This is the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day when He serves you. He serves His people. This is a wonderful day. I bring the warmest greetings to you from Concordia Theological Seminary, particularly its president, Dr. Lawrence Rust, and also my faculty colleagues and staff members and all the students. Thank you very much for your partnership in the gospel. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. And thank you particularly for sending us two precious men, Pastor Marsh Schamberger with his dear wife, Rachel, and also Rob Doughty with his dear wife, Emily. I have had both of them in my classes before, and they are just such a talented and gifted man. I know how you miss them, but I also know that by sending them to the seminary, you are serving the Lord, because through them, there will be fruits of labor. More people come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and to be with Him all their lives and also into heaven. So thank you very much again for supporting our seminary, but also particularly sending your two precious men to our seminary. Now today we have been given the gospel, which is well known to everyone, I suppose. Every gospel lesson delivers a particular Jesus. In today's gospel, that is Jesus the shepherd. Put yourself in the story of the gospel. Pretend as if you are one of the 5,000. Then you will notice that the first action is done by Jesus. He is not the kind of God who waits for us to come to Him. It is always Jesus who approaches you first. Jesus is, to use our language, proactive towards us because He knows your need. Evangelist Mark tells us that Jesus had compassion on the people. Why? Because He knew that the people were the sheep without a shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know what your life's concern today. It may be a financial challenge. It may be some issues in family or relationship. It may be loneliness. It may be your battle against Satan concerning some particular sins. I don't know the details. But Jesus knows your need exactly and most concretely. And even before you pray to Him about it and for help, He takes an initiative to care for you. In our gospel, when Jesus saw the need, He immediately acted as paterfamilias, or the father of the household. He said, "Grace, blessed God, as the one from whose bountiful hands come bread and fish." Then He started to give out food to the people through the hands of the apostles. From Jesus' hands, the bread and the fish kept on coming until the last and the biggest stomach was full. They all ate and were satisfied. They did not need to eat greedily, for there were a lot of leftovers. Jesus loved to give. He loves to give to you his gifts today. Our text echoes several Old Testament images. And that people were like sheep without a shepherd is taken from Old Testament Numbers 27, where the ordination of Joshua is described as a successor of dying Moses, so that the people would not be left as those without a shepherd. Here in the Gospel, Jesus is portrayed as a new Joshua. In fact, the name Joshua in the Old Testament is the name Jesus, identical names. Jesus, he has his own people. Like Joshua, Jesus was full of the Spirit. Jesus is the one who brings Israel to their true Canaan, and to their final rest. According to the other Old Testament passage, Old Testament prophet, when people dwelt without a shepherd, people will be afflicted, says Zechariah chapter 10. Prophet Ezekiel also speaks of it. He speaks of an even more devastating situation. People without a shepherd become a prey, food for all wild animals. That's chapter 34 in Ezekiel. So when you have no shepherd, this is what happens. You will suffer, you become a prey, food for Satan and all the devils. It's a serious matter. In this world, you may have a good life, or even decent life, or at least life with all the necessities. But once you reflect on your spiritual life, a life with Jesus, if you have resisted your shepherd and live as if you have graduated from Jesus, as if a mature Christian is the one who can live a Christian life without trusting and relying on Jesus anymore, then you have already fallen into such a devastating, dangerous situation. The fact is that there is never a neutral place. You are whether for Jesus or against him. Whether you are against Satan or for Satan. You are either a prey and free food of Satan, the wild beast, or a dear child of God, protected by the Good Shepherd. Evangelist Mark wrote in his first chapter that Jesus remained unharmed when he dwelt in the wilderness with the wild beasts in order to be tempted by Satan. When you were kept in Christ by listening to his word and by eating and drinking his own body and blood at the altar, then you will remain unharmed in the midst of Satan's attack. Perhaps you have sensed that our gospel lesson resembles Psalm 23, which we already cited. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A famous passage. Yes, Jesus is the true shepherd of your soul and body, but it is better if we read Psalm 23, verse 1, in Hebrew original. In the original language, it doesn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, but actually better, the Lord is shepherding me. He shepherds me already. It is not a statement about Jesus, but it is about Jesus who is already doing the service for you and for me. Before I ask him to be my shepherd, he's already shepherding me. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 21, 23 says that the Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. Here in Mark, Jesus ordered people to do the same. Jesus let his people lie down on the green grass. In Psalm 23, Yahweh prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, it says. Here in Mark, Jesus prepared bread and fish. In such a situation where Jesus needed to show compassion on the people and to teach them. Psalm 23 says, "My cup overflows." In Mark, Jesus' gift of food were in abundance. As the 5,000 and more went home, pondering what had happened, they should have reflected, "Wow, that Jesus, he is something else. Green pastures, food when there was none, gifts in abundance. It was just like our forefathers around the tabernacle. Jesus is a shepherd of Israel." We don't know if Mark's crowd understood their situation as in the presence of my enemies, like in Psalm 23. Did they know that they were in such a miserable situation in both body and soul that called for Jesus' compassion and teaching? Did they know that their sinfulness and their need for their Savior? I doubt it. Mark doesn't tell us one way or the other, but according to the parallel passage in John's Gospel, chapter 6, people didn't have a proper understanding of themselves or of Jesus. They wanted to make Jesus a bread king. In other words, people wanted the bread and fish and not Jesus. They wanted to check him out according to their own measurement and standards. They wanted to fit Jesus to their own expectations and projections. What about you? Do you know yourself? Do you recognize your ever sinfulness, even today? Do you know your need of Jesus? We too, instead of seeking Jesus, we tend to tell him what he should give us. We are always tempted to make Jesus other than who he actually is. This takes place when we do not know our own spiritual situation. When you are not sinners, you don't need Jesus, who forgives your sins. Some years ago, we had a great professor at our seminary. He spoke of one story that illustrates our point quite beautifully. It was a story of an old lady who came one day to the church to her pastor for some conversations. She told him, "I have a problem." "What's your problem?" "You know, my husband is kind." "Is that a problem?" "Yes, it is. My husband is increasingly too kind to me, and I feel guilty about it." So she started to tell him, the pastor, a story for maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago story, maybe 40 years ago story. It was a story just prior to the wedding. After engagement and before the wedding, she had an extra affair. And she felt so guilty, sorry about it. She wanted to apologize her engaged future husband. She couldn't. After 5 years, she was still agonizing because she wanted to tell her husband but couldn't. 10 years, 20 years, she came to the point where she hated herself. She hated her husband also because he was too kind. So with tears and agony, she came to her pastor that day. A wise pastor invited her to a private confession and absolution in the church at the communion rail where nobody was there in the privacy. She confessed her sin to God, and pastor, in the place of Jesus, absolved her. In the state and by the command, mandate of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She said, Amen. Then after the absolution, they went back to the pastor's study again. Pastor unvested. They had a casual conversation. And she said to the pastor, Thank you. For the first time in my life, I heard a clear voice of forgiveness of sins from God. I feel so good. I'm comforted. Thank you. Now, Pastor, when I go home, do you think that it's a good idea to tell the story? To which the wise pastor answered, What story? The sin that is forgiven is forgotten. The Lord has wiped away because Jesus himself bore that sin on his shoulders. It's taken care of. It's forgiven. Peace in the conscience, in the heart. That's the forgiveness that we, every one of us, need. As a Christian, we know more about our sinfulness than when we were not growing Christians yet. Don't you think? Are you a better Christian today than 10 days ago? Or 10 years ago? I'm more sinful. I need Christ even more than ever. Before I know my sinfulness, the Lord has already done his saving work. That's the gospel. Your sins have been forgiven. You bear his name with the water of holy baptism. You came here to receive abundant mercy and grace from our Lord. Every gospel lesson delivers a particular Jesus. In today's gospel, that is Jesus the shepherd. Now, before I finish, I'd like to ask you one question. Who is your shepherd? Or may I use a language that is in the same language in Greek? Shepherd and pastor come from the same word. Who is your shepherd? Who is your pastor? Is it Jesus or is it Pastor Warren Graff? You'd say, my pastor is Pastor Graff. Of course. Exactly. Then, is Jesus not your pastor? The language of the pastor or shepherd in the New Testament is much more frequently used with Christ as the referent. What is said of Jesus as a chief shepherd or pastor is therefore the fundamental definition of what the pastor's office actually is. Paul said that the pastors in Ephesians Acts chapter 20, he said, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Peter also wrote to the pastors in the diaspora. This is 1 Peter 5. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Thank and praise the Lord that you have Pastor Graff as the one who sent by Jesus, the chief pastor. Perhaps now you can recall all the wonderful pastoral care that the Pastor Graff has extended to you over the course of so many years here at Grace. Of course, he is human. Besides, he is very funny. Actually, he is not holier than you. If I say that he's superior Christian than you are, he would be the first one to deny that. He is as sinful as we all are, yet because of the office which Christ has granted to him at his ordination, and the office that he bears it, therefore, Pastor Graf has been representing Christ here at Grace. He has been shepherding you faithfully, eagerly, and with loving kindness. When you needed Christ's care, Pastor Graf was there for you and with you, in the pulpit, at the baptismal font, at the Lord's altar, the table of the Lord, in the hospital, funeral home, yes, even at your own home. Pastor Graf extended Jesus' care for you. You have seen Jesus in the office of the pastor that is now filled by Pastor Graf. Therefore, thank God, in a double sense, you are not sheep without a shepherd. You have the shepherd who protects you from becoming a prey or food for the wild animals, the devils. This precious gift of Pastor Graf is never to be taken for granted. He is Jesus' gift to you and for Grace Lutheran Church. When the problems threaten you next time, turn first to Jesus. Today's gospel proclaims to you that you have Jesus as your shepherd, and of course Pastor Graf serving under shepherd. Jesus' way is a way of gifts, of bounty, of always more. That is the way of his love. Come to the table of the Lord this morning in the midst of your enemies. Eat and drink and feed. And there is always more. More Jesus than you have calculated, imagined, or delighted in. He knows you. He calls you by name. He seeks the lost sheep and is happy when he finds it. So, dear Christians, friends, we are given such a wonderful Savior. From him, then keep receiving the gifts you need, which pull you forward to the always more he would give you. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Psalm 145. Amen.